But we begin with a character who was unknown to Americans until the 9/11 attacks in 2001, when he was seen as the number two to Osama bin Laden, the man who protected the al-Qaeda leader for years and who continued as spiritual leader to the Taliban until his death announced today. Mullah Omar survived the $10 million U.S. bounty on his head, but was not in the best of health. He's been out of the public eye for years and leaves a strong Taliban behind, but one looking toward ISIS in Iraq and Syria for the next chapter in the jihadist movement. Joining me now with more is Sami Yousafzai, Newsweek and Daily Beast correspondent in Pakistan and Afghanistan. He's covered al-Qaeda and the Taliban since September 11th, and he says that Omar's shadowy, reclusive style did not prevent him from having significant influence.
Well, although he was not very obvious and he was very deeply underground right after the collapse of the Taliban, most of the Taliban fighters considered Mullah Omar as a spiritual leader, is a very honest leader, and one of the reasons the Taliban remain very much united since 1994 was the leadership of Mullah Omar, and he was very believed to everyone. And I think although he was not very much active, he was not chairing any Taliban big meeting, he was underground, but still he was a big name in support for the Taliban unity and the Taliban fighters.
He was not believed to be in terribly good health in the last few years. Is his death not at the hand of U.S. forces or Afghan forces something of a victory for the Taliban?
Well, we are hearing that was amazing. A guy who was illiterate or countryside mullah, and how successfully he was able to hide for 13 years. And one of the reasons he was hiding was he was not in contact with anyone, and he was not using modern technology. So I think it was a big challenge for the rest of the Western intelligence, and his natural death means a setback for Americans, for CIA, for Afghan governments. But I still believe that we are hearing reports that he was changing his shape and he was still going for some attacks, and he got injured at least twice.
And how careful was he in terms of guarding his identity and keeping virtually everything about him secret?
Well, since nobody knew, even if I could meet Mullah Omar and travel in a car with him, since nobody really had seen him, and I think probably 200 people among the Taliban were able to see Mullah Omar. So even the circulated photos of Mullah Omar, or three or four, are different with each other. So I think it was easy for him. But I think since he was a countryside villager and he was not relying on modern technology, and one of the reasons he was very successfully hiding for years is keep himself away from the mobile telephone and internet.
He was responsible for really centering power in Afghanistan away from Kabul for a while in Kandahar. Has that still been the case? Is Kandahar remaining a jihad power center in Afghanistan? And is that a legacy of Mullah Omar?
Well, I would say nowadays some parts of the Kandahar is peaceful if we compare with the other parts of the Afghanistan. So I think at the moment, I would not say it's only a Kandahar insurgency, and it's a nationwide Taliban insurgency. And especially after the withdrawal of the American and NATO forces, they are now more active and more in control.
If Mullah Omar is no longer leading the Taliban, where will Taliban fighters go? Will they stay in Afghanistan and fight the current government, or will they look for other opportunities?
The problem is this is an ideological fighting for Taliban, and they think this is jihad. This is something related to religion, and they were not fighting for Mullah Omar. They think they were fighting for God, and God will be forever. So I don't think so. They will give up their weapons if Mullah Omar has died, because Mullah Omar was a spiritual and a religion leader. And now I think if somebody come out from his family or probably his son, so the followers will follow him. If Mullah Omar is end, it doesn't mean the jihad is end. So I don't think so that will have a very negative impact on the insurgency. But of course, it will have a negative impact on ongoing peace talks, because most of the people believe that United Taliban has a better chance for a negotiation if some small groups of Taliban splits from Taliban, they will be more hardliner.
As the center of the jihad movement in the Middle East and South Asia shifted to ISIS, what was Mullah Omar's reaction to all of that?
Well, I think the Taliban don't believe that ISIS would be a big threat for them. First of all, Afghan society is a very traditional Sunni society. They don't like Wahhabis type of people, and ISIS are mostly Wahhabi and Ahli Hadith. Second, we don't have any Wahhabi population in Afghanistan. And third, we are not Arab. And fourth reason, there is no good opportunity for ISIS to grow up in Afghanistan. We don't have any anti-Shia sentiments in Afghanistan. And I don't think so that ISIS will be a big challenge. But definitely we are hearing that the Taliban issued statements and ordered their fighter to fight against anyone who is becoming loyal to ISIS or Sheikh al-Baghdadi. That's why recently some part of the Afghanistan, Taliban had a successful crackdown against the ISIS, and they are almost kicked out from the areas where they have been operating since last 6 months.
Sami, thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Sami Yousafzai is Newsweek and Daily Beast correspondent in Pakistan and Afghanistan. He spoke with us from London.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.